You've tuned into the Are You Screening podcast, originally live and an effort to bring you instant reactions to films. We try to stick to that theory and bring you unedited, unfiltered, and largely off-the-cuff opinions of movies, along with interviews, industry news, and hopefully a lot more. Thanks for listening, and let's get right to this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I'm your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman. And with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, it's Logan. And we do have a bunch of stuff to talk about, but...
This is weird. I love it.
We have...
This is hypnotic.
We have jazzed over Shane at this point.
Yeah, I'm easily confused.
It's clearly Logan week. And it's Logan week at the theaters. It's Logan week at the box office. It's all kinds of Logan week. Broke records for March already.
Was it like 85 million? I mean,
it was somewhere. It was somewhere around there. I don't know exactly, but I did see 85 million. I think I saw something like 89 million at one point
was
or
really?
Whatever.
Wow.
So I don't know what it was, but it was clearly a record for March.
Yeah.
Which, as we have been saying,
March is that is summer.
That is not a record that's going to last very long, right? I mean, it might not last the month,
right?
Which is just crazy because there's no more summer. Before we get into everything about Logan, and we're fumbling in the dark right now this week, so we're not really going to try and do anything too drastic, like do a bunch of news, tell you about a bunch of other. Garbage, but we do have to mention the fact that we've moved. So if you listen to us on iTunes, it will make no difference to you at all, except that
Welcome
a bunch
back.
Of stuff will be different about the show.
Right.
We're going to be like produced sort of at this point. We're moving away from Blog Talk Radio for a lot of reasons. Largely, we did not get a lot of benefit out of being live, even though... we like being live. we like the idea of being live and just talking as opposed to, you know, recording separate segments and doing a lot of stuff. So the show is kind of still live in a way.
Right.
We're just recording and just going. We're not overproducing everything and slapping stuff together and... I don't know, throwing in sound effects and all that. But we're still just hitting record and going for an hour, and that's it.
Right.
But as far as people calling in, people being able to chat, seemed like really the vast majority of people were listening to us on iTunes anyway.
Right.
So it didn't make a lot of difference. But also we had some problems with Blog Talk Radio, and as people were quick to mention by emailing us by going to ruscreening.com and hitting the contact page and letting us know whatever you want to, that they were not real happy with the fact that a couple of our episodes over the last couple months have gotten lost.
Yeah.
Especially one where it's kind of funny because we could really duck out of a giveaway right now.
and never have to
go back to it.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Because nobody knows about it anyway.
Oh, man, that's a riot.
We did a show where we covered four movies.
That's
and it was
really
like
funny.
John Wick 2, and we did four, I'm pretty sure, in the 1 week.
We did. It was like Gold.
And Gold.
It was Gold,
and
John Wick.
And it was not a lot of movies that we liked a lot.
Right.
But anyway, we had a giveaway during that episode where I said, pick which one of these you want, and we'll send it to you, and we were going to do that giveaway. And then the show got eaten by the Blog Talk Radio monster somehow. And I don't know. I don't know that it's their fault. It could be our fault. I have no idea what happened. But the show did not record and upload properly. I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think that if you were listening to that show live, you were... set.
I think you were okay.
You heard it. But something about, you know, translating it into the permanent file didn't work. So anyway, for a lot of various reasons, we've moved on from Blog Talk Radio. And we are now the official home of the podcast is at Podbean. And they have a lot of cool things going on. And We'll have information on the website about anything you might need to know, but there's a lot of interesting stuff that you can do at Podbean, like help sponsor us.
Yeah.
In a kind of, they have kind of a crowdfunding model. And if you're listening to us, I really want you to go look at that page, except not right this second. But
right, stay with us.
But soon, right? Because we're going to put together a lot of interesting packages and what you can get for crowdfunding us, because that's cool. Things like free trips to the movies. We're going to probably do like some, like a kind of a thank you box. Like, I don't want to start having people think that we're competing with, you know, like one of them subscription box things, really.
Those things are great.
But we do have piles of swag and movies and everything that we will throw into our boxes to thank people.
Yeah.
And we are going to have the opportunity to be involved in our credits in the show. So you get to impress your friends by having us say your name every week.
Right.
And all sorts of good stuff like that. But anyway, so like I said, if you're listening to us on iTunes, all you really know is that the show sounds different. We have different music. There's lots of other stuff going on like that.
I haven't heard the music yet. This is so crazy. No, you
haven't,
I love it.
You haven't heard the music, and and that's just crazy. But at some point, you'll get to
hear it. I will.
You can listen to the show. So anyway, that's our big thing going on there. And if you have any problems with the sound quality, you got to let us know. We'll obviously listen to everything and try and figure out what's going on for ourselves.
Right.
But we are in a whole other kind of new vacuum of production here. So we are not sure how stuff is going to sound yet and how perfect everything will be. Anyway, so that is our move diatribe.
Yeah. I'm just looking real quick on iTunes. It looks like one of the briefest shows that we had a problem with recently is just gone.
Yeah.
Either you deleted it or it's just gone. And I
deleted it because
that makes sense. It was only 3 minutes long.
It was not even that. Yeah. I don't know. It was.
I guess if anybody is curious, we don't have to say anything about it. But because I write down this stuff just for my own benefit later, I'll run down real quick. We saw Lego Batman. I gave it a 7. You gave it a 6. We saw Gold, which was the Matthew McConaughey film. I gave it a 5. You gave it 4.5. John Wick Chapter 2, we both split at 8. A Cure for Wellness, I gave a 3, and you gave a 0. And,
yes.
Man, that's... I hope... I can't remember which one of these is actually still out there. And then we did Get Out last week, which I gave 4.5, and you gave 3.5.
Yeah, the Get Out show is there. That one's there and everything. Okay. So.
But man, that Cure for Wellness show, that was one for the ages. That was, I'm sad if that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, no, that is a bummer. That was, I'm pretty sure that was on that show because it was the four together.
It was Gold, John Wick, Lego, and A Cure for Wellness.
And
man, you hated that.
Yeah, and I remember that I said when we were doing the giveaway on it, and I said, you can pick whichever one of these four movies you want.
Right. Yeah.
So I will make sure to get a copy of Lego Batman and John Wick 2.
Ready, yeah.
Because if you pick A Cure for Wellness, I'll give it to you.
If I won that, I would want A Cure for Wellness, and I'd want you to autograph it with your rating on the front and be like, this film sucked.
Yeah.
0 out of 10.
And
enjoy.
And I would be perfectly willing to do that. Anyway, now that we've babbled on in it. So, Logan, we're going to jump right into Logan. And, you know, as we have said for, I was going to say weeks, but as we've said for years, right, we're in the heart of There's No Summer Anymore. And next week, we'll obviously be doing Kong is next week.
Yeah.
And then whatever the rest of the title of that movie is, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's got like
called
Return to Skull
Magic
Island
or whatever
something.
It is. I don't know. But anyway, it's the big, crazy Kong movie.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense and no one cares. But then there's Beauty and the Beast, and it's just like one thing after another. But anyway, Logan, even though everyone thought it was going to do well, because obviously it's going to do well,
right.
Still kind of blew everyone away with how well it did, because not only did it get like, you know, 85 or whatever, break the March record, break all sorts of records or whatever.
Yeah.
The worldwide weekend it made was like $350 million or something.
Yeah.
in like a couple of days.
Yeah, it's staggering.
And oddly, it didn't exactly break any Thursday records. I think it made like 9 million or something like that on Thursday, which right. could have been higher. It's still good, but right. that could have been higher.
If you were looking at Thursday's record as a projection for the rest of the weekend, you might be nervous. You'd be like, right, wait exactly. a minute. Nobody wants to see an R-rated superhero.
Yeah, you would have been surprised. And I am going to say right now, at some point, we are going to spoil this movie a little bit.
Sure.
And, well, give away the end, sort of. We'll so that's yeah, a little bit of spoiling. Because I really want to talk about the ending. But before we even spoil it, but we won't spoil it for a while. There's other stuff to talk about. We're not going to like open with here's the end or whatever.
Right.
But I feel kind of safe in spoiling it in that way because I feel like everyone knows already. All your friends on Facebook have already told you. And
sure.
I mean, it's kind of really out there. Yeah. Everyone's talking about it. And no matter how many review sites or whatever say spoiler warning or whatever, I mean, everybody has been talking about it, especially because some people are not real happy.
Right.
So
right.
So there's that. So jumping into the movie, we got to throw out our ratings first.
Yeah. I guessed yours.
You
but
have
I'm
no
not even really
idea.
Sure. I really what, am not. What? This what is I'm a gonna, this is a weird one.
I don't really have any idea what you're going to do either, because
yeah.
I don't know. It was packed in the theater, and I wasn't getting a lot of reaction out of you
right.
one way or another.
Right.
I had to make sure you weren't sleeping at some point.
No, I didn't sleep during this one.
I gave this one 9.5.
Wow. Holy crap.
And you gave it 2.
I was.
So
I
that
was,
is our biggest was, difference ever.
I was really off with that. I thought you might like it, but not that. 9.5. Holy crap. That's awesome.
And I'm not even going to talk about it until you give your rating, because everyone wants to know, because everyone wants us to disagree on something. At some
they
point.
Actually do, and you're actually a part of that. This isn't going to be the one to get the disagreement from. I was at 9.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
I was a little
I had you down at like 7. I had you like, I petered at like 6.5.
I was kind of thinking
went,
the same
I,
thing about you.
I thought maybe you really wouldn't like the ending, and maybe you still don't. Maybe
I don't like the ending.
I don't either. I don't. There's, it's strange
I don't.
To have so many, I have different difficulties with different parts of the whole movie.
I have a lot of difficulties with the whole movie too.
Man, what a fun,
but then
what a
I,
fun time.
But then I liked so much of it. And you know, we have
that's interesting.
We have over the years gotten a lot of emails where people give us grief about various things that that we talk about. And you know, seriously,
we welcome it.
Keep those coming.
We love it.
Yeah, keep
we
those,
seriously
keep
love
those
it.
Emails like, coming. Yeah. Tell us that we're crazy and
wrong,
full of crap and wrong, whatever.
Right.
Just to get the other perspective. I mean, if you're going to email us and say you're wrong, that's not helpful. But
right, you got to flesh it out a little.
But when we get other people's perspectives and why they think, some people send us things that say you're wrong and you don't even agree with that. Like, I've been listening to you and
right.
you say this about this movie, and now you say this about that movie, and that you're not even being consistent.
Right.
Which is completely untrue, but
right.
people still say
we like, it. We like hearing it.
But this movie had a lot of stuff in it that kind of made me roll my eyes, that you know, kind of made me go, ugh, I hate that they're doing this, and they keep doing it, and it keeps popping up. And somehow I just couldn't make myself care.
Yeah.
It was not stuff that was big enough. Some of it is weird nitpicky fanboy stuff that's like, you know, I'm comic geek and whatever. Some things were like I almost feel like you're not completely paying enough attention to what you're doing, because I feel like you don't remember that you did this before and now you're doing this, or you know, just I mean kind of stuff like that. Most of it really pretty nitpicky, but still some of it stuff that I wouldn't let other movies get away with.
Right.
In a different movie, I would say no.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right.
And I'm gonna.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna pull you down like 3 stars for it, or God knows what. In this one, I was okay with it enough, and there was enough cool stuff, and I think there was something about the fact that the movie was trying to be so different from every other comic book movie
right
that I was like, well, I mean, if this is what I have to put up with
to get it,
to get that, then yeah, then that's okay.
And certainly it does, and it did, because really the common prototype right now for a film like this, though it isn't like this at all, is Deadpool. It's not just because it's the most recent R-rated film, but it is the most recent R-rated superhero film. But those are diametrically opposed, because it is, one is just supposed to be like a raunchy fourth wall breaking superhero comedy.
Right.
And this is supposed
just
to be
like
everything
screwball.
Not. This is supposed to be a bloody, visceral, gory, foul mouthed, potty thotted, just road movie. And it's supposed to be really gritty. And in that regard, you know, it certainly gets a lot of leeway to succeed or fail on that. And I would say, despite all the grievances that I had throughout it, some of which, like what you just described, some were just fanboy, some were just inconsistency, some were just, I don't think you would actually do this way. If you were paying attention to the whole film you were setting up, I still had a blast with it. And I still think that it worked amazingly well as this. So much so to the point that it's almost a little frustrating that they didn't do at least one other Wolverine entry. Maybe not
before
an X-Men
this,
entry before
like
this.
Like something out like Wolverine.
Or that maybe that they wouldn't concede. It's too bad. You know, this is one of these things where Hugh Jackman has said he's doing his last Wolverine. And whether you believe that or you don't, I don't know that I necessarily do.
I kind of do.
I don't know that I do. But it certainly would have been interesting to have done this in place of The Wolverine, which was the last film, and to have one more R-rated film ahead where everyone sees, like, yeah, this is actually where we get to know the character a bit more. Because if you knew Wolverine, not to hold him up to, you know, all the stuff that he was built upon in the comics and in every other medium, he's always just a watered-down version in all the best of the X-Men movies, because he's not really Wolverine. He's just like this Wolverine.
Well, he is, and
but he's this
there's
character.
There's kind of two sides to it, actually, because not only is he watered down in the sense that maybe he's kind of a more PG version, but he's also, you know, he's just like his bullet points in the movies. You know, he's just, he doesn't really get any kind of serious attempt at depth in even any of the other movies, even when it's just him. He still does, you know, maybe a little bit in the last one. But he still just is, you know, he's kind of like whatever people who don't really read the comics think about it. I mean, that's like kind of as good as it gets. Yeah. It doesn't get a lot of depth to it.
We get echoes of it, like even in the first film, where he's always flipping off Cyclops with one claw, and he's like, "Cause you're a dick,"
right?
You know, things like that. You get a sense of it. But Wolverine is raw and very basic, like exposed nerve kind of anger, and you see it in this, even when it doesn't work for itself. But that's great. I'm psyched you had as much fun with it, because even when we walked out, I mean, it was like 20 below, so we didn't talk very long.
Right.
But when we walked out, you know, I was still like, man, I can't gauge where he is with this at all.
I thought it was great, and I thought there were a lot of times during the movie where I really thought, yeah, I just can't do 10, though. I just can't.
There were enough small things that added up to me.
I just can't get all the way up there. So just to give some information about the movie, everyone is obviously talking about how this is, you know, quote unquote, inspired by Old Man Logan. And we should say, everyone who we don't even have to say, because everyone who has any idea what that means knows that it's
not true. Yeah.
Those people are invested enough to already have found out that no, it has virtually nothing to do with that. I mean,
he is an old man.
It's kind of odd, but he is.
He's
old Logan.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Well, and the X-Men are all gone, basically.
Well,
that's the only other similarity
in
the stories. There's different reasons in the movie than in the story that it's based on. But yeah, that's really it.
Right. And I don't think even,
well, I guess there's
Charles
a road trip,
is even in the thing. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah.
The whole point of it is a little road trippy still. So you kind of have that, you know, general thing happening. But there's nothing else really that connects this to Old Man Logan except a very general concept of old Logan.
Right.
And you had to know that was coming ages ago before anyone knew what was happening, because the comic is so bonkers. The comic is super bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it has to do with we're in, you know, here it's weird. In the comic, you just know from the beginning that you're in like an alternate reality or whatever. Right. In this one, there's no reason to think that. You're just in some later period of time, and it's like 2029 or something, mm-hmm. which is not nearly far enough away, probably, actually. Yeah. But and like all the X-Men have been killed. They don't give you any information on how this happened, which I think actually is great, because they just show you the world where mutants at some point were basically outlawed or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At least in the U.S. because they're trying to get to Canada where they'll be okay. Right. Which really seems like a strange thing, too, that you better not talk about it too much. Like, the U.S. has suddenly decided that they're going to kill people.
Right.
And other countries are not on board, which that's a weird scenario to figure out how that's going to actually come together. Anyway, but we're clearly in a it's been like this for a while sort of scenario, right? It's been like this for at least several years. And Wolverine is driving a limousine for whatever reason that's supposed to make sense. But he's driving a limousine, and he's got Charles Xavier locked in a water tower across the border in Mexico to protect him from people finding him, because apparently Charles Xavier, in his old age, is starting to have like seizures. He's got whatever he's got. We don't know for sure, but every once in a while he will have like a seizure and kill everyone.
Right.
And he, whatever it is that he does, everyone that's anywhere near him just kind of freezes. Like, they can't control their body anymore. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, time stops practically because everyone stops having any control over themselves. And then Logan has to give him a shot of a sedative or something, whatever it is, that gets him out of it. And we get hints throughout that there was at some point some bad episode that happened. And the movie only, you know, gives you like small hints like was, and people died, you know, whatever it is. But at some point, Charles had some seizure and with, you know, to catastrophic events, because nobody expected him to happen or whatever. It was just whatever. But the movie doesn't tell you anything. Like, is that the beginning of when people got serious about taking out the mutants?
Right.
Or is that just some other thing that happened or whatever it is? But anyway, you know, so Logan is taking care of him.
Yeah.
And it's part of it's a setup that makes the movie so awesome, because for me anyway, it's a setup that has nothing to do with mutants, really.
Right.
It's you've got Caliban, who's become the resident caretaker of Charles, who's locked in this big room, essentially.
Yeah.
And Logan has to go out, try to make money. He's trying to save up enough money to buy them a boat.
Right.
So that they can go live permanently on the ocean,
right?
So that he can't be near anyone, and no one's gonna really look for him. I guess I don't know what the thing is, but Charles Xavier is at this point actually the detriment to society that everyone accuses mutants of being. I love the setup of them, you know, in this Dust Bowl. Yeah. So anyway, but what happens is a woman finds Logan, and she's got the kid. And we've all seen the trailer.
Right.
The kid is like mini Logan.
Yeah,
She's like the new mini Wolverine. And the trailers don't exactly explain to you how that happened. But the movie gives you the whole rundown of how somebody's trying to create mutants that can be controlled, and they're growing them in a lab in Mexico, and they all have different powers because I guess basically they've taken the DNA from other mutants, most of whom are all dead now.
Yeah.
Anyway, And they're growing mutants, and she's one of them. And we won't, like, spoil everything, but, you know, basically her and this one nurse, they get out, and that starts us on the movie, because obviously Logan doesn't want anything to do with helping this person.
Right.
Because that's just causing problems for him.
Right.
And Charles Xavier is, like, guilting him into it. And,
yeah.
And Professor X awesomely is getting so old that he is, like, losing it a little bit, too. He is oddly really old grandpa.
Yeah.
In a way that you would not expect they would, you know, bother with in a comic book. So then, anyway, the movie is just then the run. There's the chief guy of the Reavers who killed all the mutants or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
But he's the dude with the metal hand, and
yep.
he's been enhanced, and
Pierce.
Isn't he creepy? And
yeah,
he's
right.
got the glasses because right. whatever. I don't know. Because some test audience said those were the creepiest glasses or
right.
whatever. And anyway, so he is, he knows that this nurse was trying to get to him. So he goes straight to Wolverine and says, this woman will be looking for you.
Yep.
And then they find him. You know, the trailers do kind of give away the part that clearly there's going to be lots of slaughtering bad guys.
Yeah.
And there is.
Yeah.
And it's fully the gruesomest movie. I don't know if it in the X-Men universe
anyway. It's very visceral, yeah.
I don't know if the body count is necessarily different, but the way people get all hacked up every which way all the time.
Yeah.
And then basically it's just a run. It's just like it's a road trip.
Then it's
movie.
The cannonball run with blood.
It's almost bizarre how much this is just every road trip movie you've seen 1,000 times with old dying mutants plastered on
mutants
it.
Mutants instead of Thelma and Louise. Or mutants
right.
instead of... You just plug in anybody.
Right.
Yeah, it could be anyone.
I mean, it's got a lot of, like...
And that's minimizing
Bing
it,
Crosby,
not,
Bob Hope road movies
sure.
mixed
right.
into it, too, except, you know, without the singing. But it is...
Right.
It is... There is... It's taking this genre. It's going, you know... Forget about the comic book genre for a minute. Here's another genre. Let's just put comic book people into it. And they don't all have to, just because there are superheroes doesn't mean that every movie has to fit in this exact kind of mold,
right?
Where the world is going to end, or, you know, where it's we're always saving the entire planet from being destroyed.
Right.
Or whatever. Anyway, so then that's the movie. It's just we go on the run. We've got the little girl who's... Mini Wolverine, and we're trying to save her.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get her to North Dakota or whatever, because that's the rendezvous, and then
right.
we're going
to get
to
over Canada.
Canada.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So that's the movie.
Yeah.
And you loved it.
It's interesting in part. The way that it works and the way that it appealed to me anyway is in some part perfectly the way that it's been consistently appealing to me over all the films. I really loved Captain America Civil War, because like what you were just describing, it gets tedious to see superheroes have to save the world from some megalomaniacal person, or now the universe is danger, or the multiverse is in danger. Everything is always our lives are in danger.
Right.
You get
like,
to a certain point.
Like, especially Doctor Strange.
Right.
I didn't like that movie as much as I thought I was, but that movie was almost like a bet. Like, someone took a bet. Now that we're destroying everything.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's a whole nother... There's more to everything than you thought, and now that's in danger.
Right.
And at the end of that movie, somebody threatens Doctor Strange, and, you know, he's like, what would you do? He's like,
right.
Look, man.
like, look.
So, anyway.
Well, there's something here now, like with Civil War, where it was globally affecting, but it was more personal. You're stripping down characters that you love and taking them and putting them in odds with who they are over time. I found that movie to be really interesting because story-wise, that's much more engaging than a CGI screwfest for some galactic threat.
Right.
Here, I love the setup for it, even though there are times where it doesn't work necessarily. But like what you were going through, you know, Logan is just a glorified Uber driver, which is laughable.
Right.
And then suddenly you're like, I guess that might actually work because he does a lot of weird things in the comics. And to stay low, I can see him doing this.
Right, he's got
to
stay...
You know, he's got to stay off the radar here. There are certain things that eventually bugged me about that situation, but that I just let go because I'm like, just accept it for what it is and have fun with it. You know, there, even the nurse is saying, I knew where to come because there's been rumors that the Wolverine is here, like in El Paso, driving a car.
Right.
And I'm thinking... Over time, Wolverine has made a lot of enemies. If people knew that he was there, and that the reports are because he's limping in the whole film,
right?
You know,
and he's weakened. And we're in a world where they're all gone.
Most of them, they seem to be almost all gone. People, even if they're not superpowered villains, even if you're a Yakuza or you're some mobster who he torched, he's going to be fending off fights left and right.
He's got a lot of pissed off people.
But anyway, you know, there's this thing that he is... old and gruff because he's sick and he's recognizing the mortality of things, but he's still fighting against it, and that's admirable because we know him over 17 years of movies. His relationship with Xavier and like what you said, how he's matured into something that isn't necessarily what you would have thought after seeing the first or second X-Men movie. You know, you're like 17 years from now, this guy, he's not going to be the guy we're seeing unless things go really bad. And things have gone really bad, and I believe who he is and where he's at. And I love the idea, like you alluded to, which is he's the most powerful mind on the planet, and they say it in the film, and now he is a weapon of mass destruction. Like, we're just waiting for this thing to go off. I loved all the little subtle things that worked against all the little subtle things that they tried that didn't. Like, the problem with him is, in the first two films, you always see him freezing everybody at the airport or at the mall. And the mutants are able to walk freely around. You know, there are those scenes where he could apparently just stop everything.
Right,
and now
he's
apparently able to do it, but not friendly, like very dangerously. And I love the throwback to it. You know, for the first time looking back at the film, I was a little irritated at there not being more of the time spent between their relationship, between Wolverine and Xavier. Though there's enough... It certainly seemed to me like it rested on the laurels of everything you've seen up until now to fill in all the blanks.
I thought there
was a great moment there for them.
You had to bring a lot of that.
I did a lot of the baggage for that. And I thought you have two great actors who embody these roles so perfectly, and they don't do anything bad. The best parts are later, like even when it's the weird, we have to stop and help the farmer and then go to their house for dinner and put everybody in danger. Like that weird trope. Like when that scene is happening with them, it's wonderful. And it should be happening more and more. And I felt like one of the weird things that took a little bit of the rating away from me is the opportunity they had there when it seemed like they were clumsily trying to facilitate a relationship between him and X-23, him and the kid. And ignoring the relationship that was there, even though the story was about to wrap up all of these things, it was just kind of strange to watch them fumble at it. But, you know, even getting far ahead, just for a second, sitting down and everybody knew... There was an interesting excitement in the audience because it was sold out where we were. It was pretty close anyway. And everybody seemed to be really into it. And the demographic was young and old, and you could see geeks and you could see just people like there. When the film started, I thought, okay, this is going to be an R-rated Wolverine, and if they do it right, this should be great. How are they going to start it? And they started off with just bloodshed.
Right.
It is just a fight, and I loved... It was actually... I knew that the movie had so much promise when he's picking himself up off the ground, and it just flashes the title card there.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I'm like, wow, this is what it's going to be. This is going to be this film, and I'm okay with it. Even though he drives off and leaves arms and heads and limbs. And I was pretty excited by that because I thought, good, you got nothing left. His last film, your last Wolverine film, he's ready to just take it and go and leave everything behind. Let's just literally cut.
And it started off very cool, too, because even though that's just kind of, hey, let's have a cool action scene or whatever, there was a lot of stuff going
on. There's an awful lot happening. Yes.
And it was done very, very well, I thought, especially just trying to establish, like, where we are and where he is. And, you know, he's passed out in the back of the car.
Right.
He gets out, and really, he's like, you know what? Just go.
Right, yeah.
And he's fine with... It's not like he... You know, he doesn't stumble out of it. He's obviously, you know, very, very drunk.
Right.
He's walking around really drunk. But he doesn't just get out of the car and go, oh, look, I have to go kill these guys. Because really... He probably should have.
Right, yeah.
He probably should have just walked up and started killing people.
Yeah.
Because, you know that's where it's going to end anyway.
Yeah.
He's smart enough to know that that's really probably where it's going to end up anyway.
Yeah.
But he still gets out and he's like, come on, just...
Yeah.
How about just go?
Yeah.
You know, and then it gets to the point where... He gets really mad, and it's, you know, it's sort of Hulk-like, right?
Yeah,
like you've reached maximum pissing me off,
right.
And now it's all over. Right?
Yeah,
and it was really well done and did a lot of stuff and kicked off things, I thought, in a really, really strong way. And anyway, we've talked a lot about some stuff that happens, but some of the parts we liked. I loved the fact that it was so interested in him as a character, even when it did stuff that I didn't really love. So in Old Man Logan, it's clearly one of the big things is we see trailers where he's got scars all over him.
Right.
And he's obviously very, very hurt. And so you're just starting off out the gates going, this doesn't make any sense. What is going on here?
Yeah.
They even allude to the idea several times in the movie, although you never really get like a payoff out of it, but they allude to the idea that he's sick. He's somehow being poisoned.
Right.
He's got something going on in his body that is fighting against his own mutation.
Right.
Which potentially can give you... might give some information. I don't know what they're going to do with this as its own franchise or if they're going to tell more of this story or whatever. But ultimately might give you some explanation as to why there are no more mutants being born. Like the bad people running these experiments or something have like released something into the air you know, who knows what it is. But they do, and Wolverine even says, and he might just be like bullshitting, but he says he knows what it is. Like he knows what the problem is.
Yeah.
And maybe he really does. And maybe he's just trying to get the doctor to shut up. And, you know, who knows?
Right.
Because it could be anything. But there's something that's going on where he, you know, he just does not have his healing factor really to the extent that he does. And obviously, we've got a mini Wolverine running around, so we're going to talk a lot about adamantium and, putting it on her skeleton and the whole how we make Wolverine in the first place and how we made her. And he, you know, carries around the adamantium bullet because for a while he was thinking about killing himself with it because that's how you can kill him. And for me, there was some stuff in this movie that, first of all, I got to say, the big thing I hated about the movie was that there are X-Men comics in it. I hate that. And I don't know for sure. I can't remember right now if that is the first time we've seen that or if they've talked about that before.
It's the first, you know.
Okay, I was trying to think if there was another X-Men movie where we had that. And
I don't remember the one.
I couldn't think of it, but I hate that. I hate that there is...
Self-referential kind of treatment.
Yeah, I hate that there are X-Men comics that people used to listen to them that Wolverine gives a whole speech and says, you know, they made this crap up and maybe like a tenth of it happened and the rest of it is just some stupid crap. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that in the world where the X-Men really show up, we start writing a comic book about them. I just don't like that. It just really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that there's like, like a Wolverine doll. And
the
whole
kid
thing.
I just
didn't like any of that stuff. And I didn't like that they did it. And I thought it was kind of like cheap. And it gave them a way to have this thing that they want about going to North Dakota.
Right.
But I'm like, yeah, it feels like that's the only reason you're doing that now. And then I just need you to do something better. Come up with something else or whatever it is. I don't know. But I didn't love that anyway. And once they do actually kind of get to where they're going at a point, you know, I mean, that's probably not real spoilery.
Right. Yeah.
They,
right.
They don't just all fall in a ditch and die, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't like a lot of what happened after that point.
When they get to the outpost?
I liked it kind of theoretically.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other, I'll be more spoilery, but a lot of the other kids and, you know, trying to have this whole whatever we're trying to have.
Yeah.
It just felt almost kind of rushed and thrown together. Like, we know where we want to be at the absolute end, and we know we have to do something.
Yeah.
Like, once we're there, but I don't really know what to do exactly. And we know we have to have this other, you know, big giant fight and all this. And it just felt like the script was 90% complete when they were making the movie. And there was like this gap where they just kind of went, you know, they just kind of wrote something the day before and said, this part, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's like this.
Right.
And it just felt like very awkward. But also, one of the things I didn't like the way that they dealt exactly with his whole problem with his healing. Because it seemed to go like a lot of different ways. And it seemed like whether or not you did or did not heal, or to what extent you did or did not heal, was a lot more about what we need to happen now. What exactly it means that you have an adamantium skeleton, and how we kill you anyway, and what adamantium bullets do, and all that stuff. There was a lot of that stuff that just felt like, you know, it works this way because I need it to work this way right now. And his healing, like, and if they didn't talk about it, I would have been more okay with everything that happened.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where just let it be magic and then you don't have to explain it to me, because they get so far down this kind of rabbit hole of your adamantium skeleton and your healing factor that eventually it doesn't make sense that he's bulletproof at the beginning, you know, because you didn't hit my bone. And so it didn't block the bullet, and it, you know, just all this stuff. And there's sometimes where, you know, he's been stabbed and his innards torn apart over and over and over, and that's not good enough because I have this healing factor. But then later it's okay.
Right.
And, you know, there's just, it, and just don't, all you had to do was not talk about it too
much.
And
all
you had to do is not oversell it, right?
Yeah. It's hard because the movie, like you said earlier too, it is really just a chase film, really get from point A to B. And though they're going across half the country, it only takes a few days, you know. And the Wolverine that we see in the beginning, who can take a shotgun blast real up close and who is standing in front of a mirror and his body is spitting out rounds.
Right, right.
3 days later, that guy is being felled by things that he's not getting that sick that quickly. You know, and in the stories, in the comics, there are runs where he has, like, adamantium sickness, and it turns out that that's the reason, like, his body is really reverting against him. And I get it, you know. But I also think, it's convenient when it works for you, but it's really inconvenient when it doesn't, and we need to have these fights. You know, it's funny thinking about the thing that I liked the least about the movie is almost the last half hour, though, you know, intrinsically I like the theory of it, like what you were saying, but in practice, the film really succeeds most of the time, and I didn't think I would say this, even with the greatest opening for that film that it could have had, which is just all the blood and guts and gore. The movie succeeds without the action. The best parts of the film are the interpersonal moments between him and Xavier, Logan and Caliban, Logan and the kid, even Logan and Pierce. Like, those, they're not chilling, but they're good because those scenes are working. When you have an action scene, you want to see Wolverine cut loose because, again, you're like, look, this is kind of fun. But I had like a weird moment where I thought, when you sit down and watch a Star Wars movie and you get like a lightsaber battle in the first 15 minutes, that's exciting because you really want to see a lightsaber fight. You want to hear the sound effects. But after three of those later in the film, now you're just kind of like, I'm not into it now. I've seen it. You've given me too much of it. Strangely enough, when he's at the farm and he has to fight, you know, X-24, which is the younger Wolverine, you know, that's an important thing because things are really happening and you don't really know how that's going to play out. but you're concerned about him because his healing factor isn't so good. On and on and on. And then when that isn't necessarily resolved, I'm thinking, great, we have another one of these fights, and that's not going to be terribly exciting for me.
Right.
And I was right. It actually wasn't. It's so weird that as the movie progresses, the arc of characterization versus action is inversed for me. And normally you want like a climax at the end to facilitate that. And I didn't want that anymore. I wanted the character stuff, and I wasn't getting much of it.
Right. And there is there's a lot of great stuff, which is kind of – it's curious to have to sell this movie, right? Yeah. Because X-Men fans are – I could see X-Men fans, not like the comics, like super X-Men fans, like for life or whatever, but people who really liked all the movies.
Yeah.
I could see them going to this and going, what? That was
really being put off by it.
That was not really that's not my fantastic. Not my world, because this is almost like it's almost like somehow like a art house X-Men movie, right?
It is.
It's a lot of what's best about it is a lot of talking. What's really great about it, like you mentioned, is him talking to Caliban.
Those are great scenes
when they're alone. Stephen Merchant is Caliban.
He's really good.
Awesome. Yeah, he's really good. But a lot of the fighting and a lot of the action isn't so great. It's still pretty good, though.
It is pretty good.
Especially up until you get to, like you said, the last 20 minutes, last half hour, that last big battle. Everything about the – basically, the movie in a certain way ends when Wolverine starts running after them.
Yeah. And goes into his berserk rage, and that's –
yeah, it's almost like the curtain could drop right there.
Right.
And just let me do it in my mind.
Yeah, right.
I'll figure out what happens.
Yeah.
Because the rest of that, the whole fight and battle and stuff is not that great. But even like going through all of it, there are a lot of, I think, serious action missteps. But like I said, everything I didn't like, I was kind of okay with writing off, right? Yeah. When they go into that first one, you know, that's just classic, almost like Michael Bay-ish, like action, like, you know, keep track of how many people you brought.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of people show up, and then they slaughter a bunch of people.
Right.
And then they run away, and there's more people chasing them than were ever there in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, they don't have any less. Are they duplicating?
Are they? Yeah.
They get chased by, like, car after car after car of people who are still alive. And I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Right.
Because there were a bunch of dead bodies.
Yeah.
And I really thought that in that first moment that we see the new young Logan.
Yep.
Well, first of all, the very first moment I thought was awesome.
When he goes into the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was actually a great scene. But then once we get outside and we're fighting him, I thought that was a really, really a staggeringly missed opportunity to explore the differences in them. Right.
Yeah.
And.
Right.
Sure, you're new and your healing factor works just fine or good enough or whatever it is, but you haven't had, you know, 30 years of being Wolverine.
Carrying that skeleton and using those weapons.
And just because we just grew you in a vat or whatever does not mean that you know how to do this.
Yeah, you're not Wolverine.
You just know how to, you just know that they're there
and
you can slash around.
Right.
And, you know, maybe. I'm sure he's had some sort of training or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But I thought that would have been a great time to have a fight where, you know, old man Logan experience gets you to kind of win out better.
Right.
And it doesn't. Right. It's like really kind of like a, you know, Deus Ex Machina save the day, end of the fight thing, which I thought was...
Yeah.
You know, was okay, but
it's not. None of them were bad.
It's not terrible, but I didn't really love it. And then once you get past that fight, then pretty much after that, most of the other fights that happen are not that great, except that they have that one very cool fight in the mix.
Yeah.
Where they're not even really having a fight because Charles is having a seizure and Wolverine's just walking around killing people.
Right.
I thought that was awesome.
That was great. That was awesome.
that was
really awesome.
That was really cool. And whatever it is that's still working well enough about his healing factor, it affects him less.
Yeah.
So that he's able to take care of Charles Xavier at all in the first place.
Yeah.
but also to wreak havoc on people who get a little too close to Charles at the wrong time or whatever.
I
thought that was very cool, too.
That scene in the farm where, and we're getting closer to what would normally be the end of the show, so I don't mind spoiling a few little things.
Yeah, we can totally spoil the end now. We've only got a few minutes left.
Getting close to that scene where, you know, you think it's Wolverine and it's really the clone.
Right.
And Xavier dies. That was an irritating scene because I loved that. I loved, like, the whole idea of it, and I loved how it looked and how it played out, and then the realization of, like, oh, man, this is what's happening. But talk about, like, one of the most wasted deaths. Like, there was no emotional thing for me going on. Like, it was almost like he got hurt. He certainly got stabbed through the heart and through the chest, and he got thrown in the back of a truck, and then that just basically right. That's it.
I thought,
like, this, there should have been more, not like a long sweeping Oscar score, not like a lot of, like, lens flare, not things, but there needed to be more there for that death when Xavier is basically treated like, you know, like the Reaver's dying. Like, he's basically
like
a character. He's a character, but he's gone. Like, strangely, Caliban got better death.
Right.
Got a better death scene than Xavier did, and Xavier's
I thought it still was cool. I agree with you. There could be a little bit more going on to it. And like we've said, we're going to kind of start spoiling stuff now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie and you don't want anything to be spoiled, then, you know, come back later and listen to the rest of the show.
Right.
But I love the fact that he runs upstairs and he, you know, the really old guy is dying. I mean, he's really old.
He's really old.
It's not like...
He's not just older.
Yeah, it's
he's
not
old.
Like kind of old guy. It's like really old guy.
Yeah.
And he runs upstairs. And first of all, he makes the decision to run upstairs anyway.
Yeah. At
that
the kid
moment.
Is there. He sees the kid getting taken off, and he still goes for
and
Xavier.
And he runs upstairs.
I love that.
And there's Charles dying with, you know, like this... crazy look on his face, right?
Yeah.
And he runs in and he just starts going, "It wasn't me. It wasn't me." And
that was amazing.
Awesome.
That was amazing.
And at the very end of that, when he's in the truck and he's dying, we could have done something a little more, but then it's kind of, you know, maybe they did it wrong, but I feel like they at least made a decision out of it.
Yeah.
That, you know, Logan is still Logan,
sure.
And he's just mostly pissed about it.
Yeah,
he's still not a person who is, like, gonna break down.
Right,
he just goes to being more pissed about it, so you don't get, like, a whole you know, whatever. And maybe that's the wrong choice, but I feel like at least they were legitimately making a choice, not like it accidentally. I don't know what to do, so I'm gonna whatever.
Right. I certainly didn't want him to cry. I certainly didn't want him to cradle Xavier's head and Xavier, you know, give him the release that he needed. I didn't want that.
Right.
I didn't need it. In fact, if I'd gotten that, I'd be more pissed.
Right.
Because that's not who those guys are. But it was just handled.
It needed a little more something.
Shoveled aside so quickly to get to this fight that was inconsequential.
It wasn't even like you did it right or wrong. It's just that all of a sudden, boom, it was over.
It was done.
And we didn't really do anything. Right. But then, so anyway, going into other things really quickly before we totally spoil the movie, I do have to say I loved the part where he starts beating the hell out of the truck.
Yeah.
I thought that was just badass. Mm-hmm. And the reason I thought that it was really, really awesome, and who knows at what point the script, you know, got tweaked and turned around and maybe there are different versions of it and all that stuff, because he could have just shredded the car.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, he just beats the crap out of it with his shovel. I thought that was perfect.
And it's him in a way that people who may not read the comics understand. Wolverine as a character is a failed samurai in the sense that, and I'm not throwing that out there, he says this, in the sense that he's always in charge of he always recognizes he's an animal, but he's trying to keep the animal at bay to be long enough to be a man and to have honor.
Right.
The animal would have destroyed that truck. I kept waiting for the claws to pop and him to slice it, but he's got to release that anger. So he's going to do it with a shovel. And I thought that's the character. That's the guy, because he's trying to control it, but he's going to let it out.
But he's got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
I thought
that was great.
That was really cool. All right. So before we wrap up, we'll just jump to the massive spoiler. At the end of the movie, Logan dies.
Apparently.
well and gets buried or whatever. Who knows? I mean, maybe he could come back. I don't know.
I see a way they could do it.
Somebody in the next movie will shoot him up with like a pound and a half of that green juice, junk, and then he'll come back.
All he needed was a rest. He just needed to lay down for a bit, you know.
So first of all, I don't like that he died. I don't like that he died, not because I don't want him to die, but I don't like that he died because I feel like the theory of this movie, and, you know, obviously the people writing the movie have a theory of the movie, and they think they're right.
Right.
But I think the theory of this movie is that, you know, Logan goes and runs these kids.
Yeah.
And then he just dies. And I'm like, those are very different movies, right? And while one theory is a perfectly fine theory to have, I don't feel like it's the theory of the movie you just made me watch for 2 hours.
Right.
If you're going to show me the movie of one theory, then you got to end it on that theory. And you think maybe that you're showing me the movie that ends in that way, because I would be fine with Wolverine dying in general.
Sure.
If he's in a movie where I'm watching it the whole time, where it makes sense, not that you have to like it or dislike it, or, you know, there's plenty of movies where a hero dies and I don't like that they die, but I'm like, no, but that's what's supposed
to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like that's the movie I was watching.
Yeah.
The whole movie was Logan taking over Charles's spot in the grand scheme of things,
Yep.
And then the movie ends and he dies, and the movie sets him up with the people to have under him, the people to guide and nurture. The idea that Wolverine could be nurturing to anyone and raise them and be in Charles's spot is wildly alien to who he is.
Yeah.
But what's happening in this movie?
Right. And the level of growth he needs as a person that Xavier has always seen. And like you said earlier, he gives him a mandate to do it. He literally says, she's a mutant. She's the last mutant. It's our responsibility. Forget that you're her father. Whether you are or you are not,
all right, we'll spoil that too.
Yeah, I mean, we're like a couple minutes away from the end. But, you know, and I think if she has claws like him and she, you know, it's pretty given. But he basically says to her, this is your responsibility. Now you have to take care of her and whoever else we find.
Right.
That's it. I agree. That's the movie. That's the end of that film. And to give you anything less than that is actually a little irritating, because like you, I don't care that he dies. I mean, because there are all these stories where he lives or dies anyway.
Right.
But now what you've done is you've killed him just to pander to the emotional gravity that you can't facilitate without killing him, because you didn't handle Xavier right, and Caliban is so new to people, except, you know, if you've read the comics.
And there's something about...
It's weak.
There's something about it being, like, too happy an ending. We didn't want it to have, like, a kind of a happy ending, whatever. And then you go, well... I don't know. This is the movie I made, but how do I make it not have a happy ending? Because I want to be dark and gritty and all this crap. Man. Oh, well, he dies. So, yeah, it just...
I got to tell you, when we're watching the film, it's not rare for me to not think of the way the film ends. I genuinely thought, okay, they think he's dead. They're going to leave him and they're going to walk off. She's going to look back and see him stumbling almost like a zombie, which in some ways he actually is.
She's going to push across.
She's going to go back to him. And the thing that has been sold over and over in the film and in the teaser and the posters is he's going to be like one arm against this tree, just kind of trying to catch his breath and catch up and escort the kids and, you know, get better. And we'll see him slowly healing. And she just takes his hand like she did earlier. And he doesn't throw her away this time. And they walk on. And then there's your film.
Right.
You want an emotional ending that has power. That's the emotional ending. Not kill him because it's now you got to get to me and try to get me in the feels. That sucks. That's haphazard and lazy.
And then, just to wrap up really quickly too, not only did I not like that he died, but I don't like how he died.
Yeah.
I didn't like that he died, because whatever sickness, whatever illness thing, you know, whatever it is that we have, first of all, worse crap than that has happened to him.
Right.
Like 20 times
yeah.
already in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
If that would have killed him, you know, the new Wolverine would have killed him in their first fight.
First meet, yeah.
Because
in the farm fight, yeah.
He hurt him worse than that.
Right.
Then. And not only that, but it overexposes me to the fact that that thing can't have gone through his ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need that. Right. Why do you, if you're going to kill him,
right.
kill him in a way that it makes sense that he died.
Yeah.
And especially when we're doing so much with this stupid bullet, like, right?
Yeah.
Because no matter how sick he is, he still always gets better enough.
Right.
Right. And it keeps happening through the movies, and I don't believe that now suddenly he's at the termination point of how sick he has become for whatever reason he's become sick,
mm-hmm.
that now suddenly you can kill him almost right. however you want.
Right.
Like, you don't right. – like, the movie right. keeps telling me that he can't die. He might come back and be in even worse shape.
Mm-hmm.
He might really, really be hurt for a while. But the movie keeps selling me on the fact that there's only one way to kill him, really.
Right.
And we didn't do it.
Right.
and then he...
I don't even buy that.
And he dies anyway.
You know,
so.
I don't even buy that. It's not like it's a kryptonite. You know, I understand with Superman getting a little kryptonite bullet in him, you know, because it is inherently like, you know, destroying him. But adamantium is just the strongest material on the planet, or one of the small handful of them. So, okay, it will go through anything, but... he'll still heal afterwards because he's still got all this. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me. It's just
yeah,
a weird MacGuffin. It's just very strange.
I feel like if you take out his brain, though, then it,
you know what?
If, if it turns him off,
sure.
And then his healing factor can't work because he's just off.
Sure.
I'm okay with that,
that
as being that's how he can die. If you shut his brain off,
sure.
But
even
by
like when it
with that.
When it kills the clone, like his, you know, and then it goes out his brain. The legend of Wolverine is that it will rebuild itself. It's really weird. I actually thought that while we were watching the film, I thought Logan was going to kill the clone at the farm and show everybody how Wolverine could die. Like, whether he decapitated him and then threw his head, like, miles away. Like, he did something there. I'm like, oh, they're going to give away only his secret on how to die. But it doesn't matter. All these things add up to... it just doesn't work.
No,
for me.
Which we've done it again. You've sat with us for an hour so that we can tell you that a movie is 9 and 9.5, and then rip it apart for an hour. But that's the whole crazy point of the movie. When I walked out, I was like, yeah, but all right.
Yeah,
I didn't like the end. I didn't want it to end that way. I didn't like a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah.
But I liked so much of everything else that happened.
Yeah.
Like every minute of what happened. If you take out these little things, like, you know, I don't love the X-Men comics. I don't like the fact that they have action scenes where there are too many people.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about making an action movie where people die that you just have to keep having people when it doesn't make sense.
Right.
You don't need to do it anyway.
Right.
It doesn't. Right. I didn't like the fact that I can't even remember that guy's name, but the bad guy.
Pierce? Right?
I guess.
The Reaver guy with the metal hand. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not like even the fact that he was the kind of goofy, caricaturish, you know, smug when he first meets Wolverine, right? As a general thing, fine. But I don't think that you're that guy. You have no reason to believe that Wolverine's not just going to cut your head
off. Take you
right
out, right?
Yeah. He might, you know, Wolverine at this point is like, how much worse is stuff going to get for me?
Right.
What's it really going to matter?
Really gonna
Are you the big deal?
Right. Yeah.
Finally, I don't think so.
Yeah. That limo scene is.
Yeah. Exactly.
That, he's like
that limo
know,
scene. He's
big fan. You know.
He's too far in that scene, and I'm thinking Wolverine is, you know, almost like Brad Pitt in Inglorious Bastards. Right?
Right.
He's just sitting there going, "It feels like a chewing out." Right.
Right.
Like
yeah.
I don't know that this is adding
right.
enough.
Yeah.
If I just take you out right here.
Yeah.
And I think that he would know that, and he would be.
Yeah.
I think he would be kind of pissy and smug in his own way, but I don't think he would just basically dare him to kill him and almost demand that he does.
Yeah, you always lose that bet.
But even with all that stuff,
just
everything that happened I was liking,
and
everything I thought was done really smart, and all the conversations and the just just basic character study of it, where we're just really looking at him, and letting him just be Logan at you.
Right? I'll say this because we're really close to. I know we're not going to go like much over the hour we're at, but we've gone this whole film and we haven't talked one brief thing about the thing that seems to be getting an awful lot of press, which is the girl, Daphne Keene. Yeah. And she's great.
She was, you know, she
did everything she needed to do. Even the stuff I didn't believe she had to do later, like all the crying, you know, emotional stuff that someone so separated from society wouldn't know how to do normally. I still liked her very much, especially the younger, not the younger, the earlier stuff we see of her just being so raw and animalistic, like her riding the little mechanical horse. And
right.
Like, I mean, just all the scenes with Wolverine trying to correct her and her just basically growling at him.
Right.
And one of the best scenes for me is when he finally figures out she can talk and he's and then he's like, shut up. Like, I can't believe you didn't say anything. And she starts saying things and he's like, okay, shut up. Like, I've had enough of this. Like, that's such a great moment. And
she was really good. And she's really good. So young.
And she is so young.
And that is...
and she could have ruined that movie.
That's like points for difficulty, right?
She could have ruined that.
That is a hard thing to get a little kid to do.
Yeah.
Yep. And she did.
And she did very well.
She did really good in it. So. Yeah. All right, so that's going to be the show for today.
So go see it. You know,
exactly. Yeah, everyone has to go.
That's
going to
be great.
That's going to be our show for today. Thanks for tuning in. And next week, as we said, is definitely going to be Kong. So watch out for that. You're going to.
Are you? I mean,
I'm not excited for it.
I'm curious, but I'm
kind
of.
I'm kind of curious, but I'm not excited.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, and that's it for us for today. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, listeners, on behalf of myself and Shane Leonard, we want to thank you for tuning in once again. The Are You Screening podcast is brought to you by areyouscreening.com and a lot of wonderful people who help us out. Surf over to areyouscreening.podbean.com or areyouscreening.com to find out how you can become one of them. All music used in our podcast is courtesy Andrew Lord. Once again, please, please, please subscribe, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Good night.